friends, I have a lot to tell you, a lot to discuss. And the topic which was chosen for this morning was the turbulent and challenging times that we are going to see before the arrival of Mashiach. This is spoken about in a number of places, referenced by the Nevi'im, of course, by our holy and great prophets, and our Rishonim Acharonim. And we're going to see maybe some ways that we can handle this challenging time before. Let's first of all define our terms, because there's unfortunately a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to Mashiach and Acharit Yamim, the end of days. So what we're going to have to do is look at the Rambam. Anyone who discusses Mashiach must always go to the Rambam, because the Rambam is the only person that I know of who actually gives us Hilchot Mashiach, the laws of Mashiach. Actually, he does more than that. He tells us how to identify that we've even found the Mashiach, which is a pretty big task to do. But no one else in history, as far as I know, has ever really done that for us. So we're going to be taking that derech. We'll also be looking at some other commentators. I guess the Kabbalists have a little bit of a different approach when it comes to Mashiach. So let's just dive right in, and then we'll talk about some of the challenges that we are seeing today, as I hope to show you, in the pre-Messianic era. And we'll start with the Rambam in Sanhedrin. And the Rambam tells us that during the Messianic era, this is what we have to look forward to, kingship, malchut, is going to return to the Jewish people. Now, the Rambam discusses the laws of Mashiach in Hilchot Malachim, the laws of kings. What a strange location. Shouldn't there be laws of Mashiach? And the answer is no, because Mashiach is going to be a king. The word Mashiach doesn't mean a savior. That's a mistranslation. The word Mashiach means a few things, actually. Really, it refers to someone who has a leadership and a position of tremendous responsibility and power. The word Mashiach appears a number of times in the Torah itself, not in the Torah, the five books of Moses, referring to the Mashiach ben David that we're going to talk about today. However, it refers to people who have certain very important jobs, like the Kohen Mashiach. That was a specific job that was given to a Kohen, an individual, who actually had to go and reassure and give tremendous chizuk, strengthening to the troops who were about to go into milchama, into war. The word Mashiach literally means anointed. That means somebody is pouring something on someone else as a sign of recognition. And in the case of kings, because Mashiach is going to be a king, he's going to return kingship, as the Rambam just said, that was olive oil that was poured by the prophet. In the case of King Saul and King David, the prophet Shmuel poured the oil, olive oil, in the shape of a crown on the head of the future Jewish king. That's what it means, the anointed one. Rashi tells us from the book of Isaiah that the word Mashiach is Lashon of Sara Ugedula, of greatness and leadership. That's really what the word Mashiach connotes. The Gemara tells us, actually, the word Mashiach, in reference to Mashiach ben David, that means a direct descendant of King David, is actually four letters, Mem, Shin, Yud, Chet. Mem being Menachem, Shin being Shiloh, Yud being Yanun, and Chet being Hanina. This, says the Gemara, are four possible names of Mashiach. However, most of the commentators understand that not to be literal, but means these are four things that we're going to experience with the arrival of the Mashiach. Menachem is going to Menachem us after thousands of years of exile of Galut. Shiloh, Shiloh, he's going to be a gift to the world. The word Shai, it's a beautiful name actually you see in Israel today. Lo, people are going to bring him gifts and he's going to be a gift to the world. Yanun, there's going to be a multiplication that's like fish that are going to exist. We're going to see a great population explosion. And Hanin is going to have tremendous chen. And he's going to treat the world with tremendous grace and chen. Carries on the Rambam. This Messiah, who's going to be a king, which we just said, is going to establish his place of leadership in Tzion. Now, the word Tzion or Zion nowadays refers to all of Israel. But really, it refers specifically to Yerushalayim and to the Makom HaMikdash. The Barbanel tells us the word Zion, as in a Zionist, refers specifically to to the word mitsuyan, which means remarkable. Isn't that nice? So if you are a Zionist, you see the land of Israel, Yerushalayim, and the future temple that's going to be built over there to be a remarkable creation. And he's going to become extremely famous, says the Rambam. And he's going to his fame is going to be even greater. Vizgadel shemov yagil k'tzo tevel throughout the entire world. Yoter v'godal al mamlechet Shlomo. The time of Shlomo HaMelech, we know the Gemara tells us, was an extremely incredible, positive time for the Jewish people. So good, by the way, says the Gemara, that they didn't accept converts in the days of Shlomo HaMelech because we were suspicious and skeptical of their motivations to convert. That's how great, the Gemara tells us, the days of Shlomo actually were. And the future king, the descendant of King Shlomo himself, Mashiach ben David, that's the Mashiach we're talking about, is going to be that famous. Okay, and we're going to see, says the Rambam, and the Rambam really focuses on this. Actually, the Rambam seems to say, different from the Kabbalists, the Ramban and others disagree, well, don't disagree, but they add to this. The Rambam says the world is going to carry on the way it is. Olam ha'olech minhago. However, we're going to see tremendous peace. And the prophets obviously speak a lot about this. Peace is going to be throughout the world. And even the non-Jewish nation says, the Rambam, yichoto emo ha'amim berit shalom. They're going to bring a tremendous brit of shalom to the Jewish people, and the entire world is going to be impacted by this. So we know there's going to be a Messiah. We know he's going to be a king. We know he must be a direct descendant from King David. How he proves that is a very interesting discussion. I'm not going to get into it now. That's a whole talk in and of itself. I'm invited back. I'd love to talk about how he's going to actually prove that he is the Mashiach and a direct descendant of King David. However, the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah, that's interesting, by the way. So the Rambam, in the Laws of Repentance, chapter 9, verse 2, starts all of a sudden to talk about Mashiach. Well, I get it that he's going to talk about it in Sanhedrin, because we're going to have a Sanhedrin that appoints the Mashiach. And it makes sense in the Laws of Kings, because he's going to be a king. Why is the Rambam suddenly discussing Mashiach in the Laws of Repentance, the Laws of Teshuvah, chapter 9, verse 2? And I think we can say that one of the ways that Mashiach is going to come, there's two possible ways, but one of the possible ways is actually through us doing teshuvah, us doing repentance. And that's going to be today's discussion, really. What is going to motivate us to do teshuvah? And there's going to be a Mishnah we're going to look a little bit later that can help us identify that and maybe explain why teshuvah is going to be such a major part of this important process. Anyway, says the Rambam in the Laws of Teshuvah, he's going to be smarter and wiser than Shlomo HaMelech, and he's going to have nevuah close to, says the Rambam, karov leMoshe Rabbeinu, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, others disagree and say that the Mashiach's level of prophecy will be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam does not say that. He says close, but not as good. By the way, what is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Torah, the five books of Moses. According to the Rambam, in his 13 Ikri Emunah, no one, even the Mashiach, can beat the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So the Rambam does not go with that. Others disagree and say, no, he's actually going to be as good, if not greater, than Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he quotes the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And he says how many people, Jews and non-Jews, because remember, this whole messianic redemption is not just for the Jewish people. It's going to actually influence the entire world. Vaya barchet yamim, in the end of days, nachon yeh har beit Hashem, we're going to see the mountain of God is going to be Rosh Harim, greater than all other mountains. V'nissa mikvav v'naru elav kol ha'goyim, and all the nations are going to stream, literally stream, into the land of Israel. V'halchu amim rabim, and these nations are going to come. V'amru l'chu, let us go, v'nale, let us go up. El Har Hashem, to the mountain of God, El Beit Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob, V'yaronu v'yamerach v'nelcha baruch atah, we're going to follow his paths. So the Rambam is going to comment on this a little bit somewhere else and say that all other religions are going to disappear. They're gone. They are not needed. And people are going to realize throughout the world that they've been fed sheker, falsehood, by their leaders and by their priests. And that's going to be a complete breakdown of the old religious order. But then again, atheism is going to completely remove itself from the world as well, because the knowledge of God, says the prophet, is going to cover the earth, just as the seas, just as the yam, machasim et ha'aretz, covers the earth, so too will be the das, the knowledge of God in this world. So far it sounds great. What an amazing, optimistic view. The prophets and the Rambams bring it down, la halakha, we're going to see happen at the end of days. So what's the problem? Let's just wait for the clock to tick out and all good's going to come. There's a challenge. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says something quite extraordinary. There seems to be this dispute. And Ulla, who seemed to look forward to the arrival of Mashiach, as the prophets speak about, says, Yese, let the Mashiach come, v'lo atamina, and I don't want to see him, v'lo achmine, I don't want to see him. What do you don't want to see him? He's Mashiach. Who doesn't want to see Mashiach? All we do is pray for Mashiach in the Amidah, in Kaddish, if you follow Nusach Svar or Svaradi, right? Three times a day pray to. The Gemara tells us when a person dies, there are six questions. The first, one of the six questions is, did you anticipate the arrival of Mashiach? Right? Tzipita Yeshua. And yet Ulla, the great Ulla, is saying, you know, let him come, but I don't want to be there. Why not? And Rabbah agrees. Let him come. I don't want to see him. Rabbi Yosef says, let him come. Let me just catch a glimpse of him. That's how much I want to be there. I want to see this amazing redemption that's going to come with the Mashiach. I'm even willing to sit in the shadow of his donkey saddle. First of all, why is he driving a donkey? No better way of transporting. It's actually one of the two ways Mashiach can come. We're going to see there's a miraculous version, a non-miraculous version, both given in our holy prophets. Everyone's very familiar with the Rocheb al-Chamor, like an Ani, like a poor person, says the prophet, riding on a donkey. Doesn't sound so nice. I'd rather my Mashiach arriving a nice big Cadillac or something, or a sports car, or maybe today a Tesla. That would be a real way for Mashiach to come. And yet, we're saying a donkey. The donkey's not so nice. There's another version, the prophets, of a miraculous one, on the level of the Exodus from Egypt, Tziat Mitzrayim. That's the one we want. And those two versions, we're going to see, are dependent upon us. Okay, Abaye said to Rabbah, why don't you want to see him? Why did you say you don't want to see Mashiach? My timer. Mashiach, we're all waiting for Mashiach every day. We're in Galut, in exile. We're suffering tremendously. It's anti-Semitism, there's war and there's hurt. And we know that all these things are going to disappear when Mashiach comes. No more war, no more bloodshed. So why would you not want to see him? So he says, I'll tell you why. There's something called Chevle Shel Mashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach. Birth pains? What does that even mean? What is the Gemara talking about with this rabbinic expression? What are birth pains? So the rabbis tell us that one of the metaphors that are used to describe the arrival of Mashiach is like birth. First of all, there is conception. And then there is a slow growth until you get to the pains of early labor, then contractions. And then it becomes extremely painful and challenging. Just like a woman gives birth to a new life, so too the world is going to have to go through pain and suffering before the Mashiach arrives. However, and birth is the perfect metaphor for this, just as you go from pain and screaming, and then v'nehafachu, in one moment, you go from potential death of the mother, heaven forbid, and the child, to new life, and you go v'nafachu to absolute joy, and crying with simcha, happiness. I don't know there's anything else in the world that goes from one extreme to the other so quickly after such a long build up. That, said the rabbis, is the perfect metaphor. We go through tremendous difficulties, contractions, and then it's all going to turn around, just like in the Purim story, which actually, said the rabbis, is the perfect metaphor for the arrival of Mashiach. It's all going to turn around and we are going to be joyful of the arrival of Mashiach. But there are going to be some birth pains, and I'm going to tell you what they are. So hold on, my dear friends, if you don't mind. Don't leave now. You'd just be upset. Rabbi Elazar said, I hear the single Chevli Mashiach, these challenges of Mashiach. However, a person can be spared for them, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara in Sanhedrin 98b. Well, what can a person do to, in order to be saved from this birth pains, this contraction, these challenges, they're going to come? What's the metaphorical epidural, if you don't mind, that a person can take to help them? Says the Gemara, Yasok b'Torah u'gmil chasadim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi, don't be scared. Don't say you don't want to be there. There's things you can do to spare you from these chevle hamashiach, these birth pain, these contractions. They're going to be the build-up to the Ralo Mashiach. And what's that? Learn Torah and do chesed. Bein Adam lechaveiro. Of all the things to choose, why was that chosen? Didn't say keep kosher. I mean, maybe that's a given. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, I don't know, fast Yom Kippur. It says it's all going to be dependent on how you treat other people. That's interesting. We'll come back to that, my dear friends. So why is he still worried? That's the solution. And supposedly he was aware of that. And he says, Amalei Shema Yigromachay, maybe I just sinned so much that even that wouldn't protect me. That's the opinion of him. That's the opinion of Rabbah. And that's why he was nervous. Well, what are they talking about? What are these Chevli HaMashiach? What are these trials and tribulations that the sources and the Nevi'im talk about that people are so concerned about? So let's have a look. And again, this is a much lengthy discussion. I'm of the opinion, as are many other great people today, which I'm not, unfortunately, that we are in the pre-messianic era. Everything we've seen today is such an incredible prelude to the arrival of the final redemption. And I believe we're right at the end of that process. To prove this and to show you what this Chevli Mashiach could be referring to, let's look at a Mishnah. So I'm not going to quote some weird esoteric Kabbalistic text. I could. I have those too, if you want. We can discuss them later if we have time. But let's look at a Mishnah. The Mishnah itself is going to talk about what's called the Igvat de Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. And that is the rabbinic expression to describe the moments before Mashiach arrives. Strange expression. Ikvot de Mashiach, the footsteps. So most people understand that expression to mean right before Mashiach comes, we're going to see the following happen in the world. However, there are some sources that say, well, you know what? There's something about the heel, that's what Ekev actually means, that is quite representative of what the generation before Mashiach comes is really like and all about. Well, what's that exactly? So the commentators say that from the beginning of creation, from Adam and Rishon, which started this entire process coming, Adam and Rishon was the head, the top of the body, the moach, the closest to Shemayim in the heavens. And as we go through history, we're actually going through the entire body. That means at the end of days, we've reached the heel, the end process. It can't be coincidence that one of the greatest patriarchs, Yaakov, who himself represents Galut, because he was the one who went into Galut. It was Yaakov who on Har HaBayit, when he fell asleep, and saw the ladder, the sulam, that went from the earth, Hashemayim, the Shar HaShemayim is where he received this, the future site of the temple, and he saw angels, Olim V'Yordim, angels going up and going down. So Yaakov is going to represent exile. He was actually about to go into exile when he had this vision, right? To go and live with Lavan and suffer in exile. He went back. We as his descendants, the Bnei Yisrael, as his name was changed to eventually, we're going to go back too. So Yaakov held on to the end. He held on to the Ekev Shel Esav. Because at the end of days, we're going to see their return. So it can't be a coincidence that it's referred to as the Ekev of the end. But as we come to this part, we're dealing with a dead society. Just like the least feeling part of the human body, right, is the soul of the heel that is the most, the thickest skinned and the most calloused. So too, the people of that generation are going to be the thickest and the least sensitive and have to deal with many such challenges. Says the Mishnah, so we're dealing with the Ikvas de Mashiach, Chutzpah Yisageh, we're going to see a lot of chutzpah that's going to occur in the world. People are going to be chutzpahdik, as we all know, v'yoke yamir, and we're going to see honor is going to decrease. It's going to be less honor between people. We're going to see, says the Mishnah, priya v'yayin v'yoker. We're going to see the vine is going to yield its fruit abundantly, but it's going to be very expensive. I read a commentary for the first time recently, just 2 weeks ago. I was looking at this Mishnah with a friend of mine who was interestingly complaining about his son. His son was a young kid who's going through challenges, and we were talking, discussing, and he's a big Talmud Chacham, my friend, and I shared him this Mishnah, which gave him some consolation. So I was with him, and we looked through some commentaries on this one Mishnah, which I actually didn't mention on the book, which I wrote on this, but I just saw it. This idea suddenly of wine, said the commentators, could be we're going to see a lot of wine drinking and alcoholism to deal with the challenges of society before Mashiach comes abundantly. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. A lot of drinking, a lot of wine, and all of this is going to try to numb the challenges that people are going to be dealing with before Mashiach comes. I've never seen that before. It's an unbelievable commentary. I can't remember who said it, but those who are interested, I'll find it for you. What else are we going to see before Mashiach comes? And why? We're going to have to figure out as well. Why should this be? Umalcha tabach laminus. We're going to see the government, those in charge, are going to turn to heresy. Now, which government are we talking about? We could be referring to all governments, but the Mishnah seems to be talking, we'll see in a moment, in the context of Israel. So there's a presumption that we're going to see a government in the land of Israel right before Mashiach comes, which obviously we see today. And they're going to be heretical. And the Mishnah says, entochachat, and we're not going to see anyone is going to give them any tochacha, any reproof for their non-believing ways. Beit vadye leznut, we're going to see in the meeting place of scholars, where scholars go sit and learn, a tremendous amount of sexual immorality, of znut. So places of higher learning, which always, I suppose, were places of growth, no matter they're religious or non-religious, suddenly immoral sexual behavior is going to be taking place over there. V'hagal yichareb, and the north of Israel, the Galil, is going to be destroyed. So for some reason, the northern borders are going to go through tremendous challenge and destruction. V'hagavlan yashum. Now the Gavlan, I saw two commentaries, that's what the Gavlan is, that the Mishnah is talking about, is referring to. One is Torah scholars are going to be desolate. And some say, no, the Gavlan actually refers to another area of Israel that's going to be made desolate as well. So it's kind of following in the trend of the Mishnah. However, the Anshei Gvul, people who live on the borders of Israel, Yisavu, are going to end up just traveling around from city to city, and no one's going to take pity on them. This reminds me when the Jewish people were removed from the Gush Katif, from the Gaza area, the Jewish areas over there. And I remember I led many trips there myself, and I was thinking of this Mishnah when I was seeing this, of all these poor Jews who were removed from their own land by their own government. I should mention the only time in history that I know of where a people have removed their own people from their own land, but we'll leave that aside for now. And they're just living in hotels. We were staying in hotels with groups that I've taken out there, and there were like people that are hanging there, washing outside, who've been there for months, and no one really cared for them. And we even see today, attacks coming in, and the people on the border, right, are the ones who are running to their bomb shelters. Maybe this is what it's referring to, seemingly. And no one seems to care, right? The whole world just looks at them and says, well, what do they expect? Okay. So the Mishnah goes from this macro view, a generalized view of the land of Israel, right, and the leaders and the government. And now suddenly starts to talk about the individuals, that's us, and what we're going to suffer at the end of days. And the Mishnah says, V'chachmot sofrim tisrach, the wisdom of learned people will degenerate. Now, essentially, the Mishnah uses the word chokhmah. Chokhmah means wisdom. What's another form of understanding that we refer to is da'at, right? Deya, that's knowledge. And we, the Jewish people, I would like to point out, make a great distinction between knowledge, quote unquote, information that we have plenty of. I mean, we have information at our fingertips, as you know, which our grandparents couldn't believe we have. You can ask me any question, I'll give you. But that's knowledge. That's very different to wisdom, the application of the knowledge. That, says the Mishnah, wisdom specifically is going to degenerate. And yirei chet yimasu, those people who fear sin are going to be despised. What does that talk about? That means people who say, yeah, I'm a God believer. I believe in God, the true God of Israel. I believe in the Torah. I believe in mitzvot. They're going to be hated. It used to be, even in the non-Jewish world, if you're a religious person, you're respected. Okay, maybe there was fights between people because your God is not my God. But that's not what it says. It says we're going to see the end of days, right before Mashiach comes, that suddenly people who are God-fearing individuals are going to be made fun of. You believe in God? Are you crazy? What's the whole God thing? Forget about it. That's so 1850s. And this is not just affecting the Jewish people. This is affecting religious people throughout the world. There's a breakdown of the old order. And actually, the Rambam, based upon the prophet Daniel, mentions in his letters to Yemenite Jews, and I actually have this piece inside, you can find this, talks about how atheism is going to spread throughout the entire world right before Mashiach comes. So the Rambam brings down, based upon the words of Daniel the prophet. We're going to see that. This old order, right, of breaking down belief in God, why that is important, we're going to see, is going to be one of the great chant of the Hevle HaMashiach. So those people who say they're religious, keep Shabbat, Jewish holidays, like, eh, right, that's what we're going to see. Va'emet, and truth, truth itself, says the Mishnah, is going to be affected before Mashiach comes. Tehei nederet. Nederet means lacking, but I believe it also means, I've read, they're going to be pockets of truth. Small pockets. It's going to be very difficult to know who's holding the emet. I have the emet, right? Because my people say this, and my religion says that, and my government says this. Very, very difficult. Not so clear who precisely is going to have the truth, who's going to have this. It's not going to be very black and white. It's going to be very gray. Not so clear. Narim penezikate, this is something about this. Is like, if this wasn't a better description of 2021, probably 2022, I don't know what is. Narim penezikate mielbinu. Young people are going to embarrass older people. There's going to be a generational breakdown as well. Old people are going to stand for young people, give them kavod, give them honor. It always was that young people would give kavod to older people. Suddenly like, eh, what do they know, that old person? And they're going to mock them. And old people are going to have to give kavod to the people. The whole world is olam hafuch. Young people are going to be making money and being successful. And old people are just going to follow them. And what do they know? This gap between generations is going to become much, much greater. Ben menavel av. A son, says the Mishnah, before Mashiach comes, is going to aid his father. Bat kama ba'ama. And the daughter is going to stand against her mother. This is what I told my friend. Kala b'chamotah, and a daughter-in-law is going to go against her mother-in-law. I have no idea what this means. We'll take this as a given of the Mishnah. But there's even going to be a breakdown between children and parents. You know, I like to quote someone who wrote a lot about Mashiach and Ikvedes Mashiach, Rabbi Ari Kaplan. Those who have not read his books should. My whole derech when it comes to Mashiach really comes from him and his writings. He says that this whole distancing between generations, it used to be that a grandfather, grandson, or grandmother, granddaughter, it was kind of like they were the same, they were dealing with the same stuff, and they were able to relate. But right before Mashiach comes, we're going to see a great speed up of technology. It's going to start, he says, in the 1800s, and he proves that from the Zohar and the Industrial Revolution that coincides perfectly with this. And suddenly the gap between technologically is so big that children aren't able to relate to their parents. It used to be generations could, like, you know, relate to each other. But as we see the speeding up of the redemption, we're going to see the gap between them is going to be exaggerated, whereby young children look at old people like, what do you know? You're part of the old order. Even their own parents, even their older siblings right, are part of an older order that they can't relate to their younger children or grandchildren. So it starts with the government, and it's even going to be in families. Oive ish anche beto. A person's worst enemies are going to be in their own home. So you can't trust the government. You can't trust the institutions of learning. We saw that already. You can't trust your mother-in-law. You can't trust your parents. You can't trust the people in your own home. Hold on. Then the Mishnah says something very, very weird and seemingly disconnected. A famous expression, Pnei Hador k'Pnei HaKelev. The face of the generation will have the face of a dog. Pnei Hador k'Pnei HaKelev. What are you talking about? 1 minute you're talking about society's going to break down and family's going to break down and children and parents, and suddenly, oh, by the way, you know what's going to happen? Face of generation, face of a dog. What is that? What are they even talking about? What is the Mishnah even discussing over here in this enigmatic statement? It can't just be an insult. Yeah, everyone's going to be like a dog. So Rashi comes along. We're going to look at three or four commentaries. Rashi says that people are going to act like they're dogs. Just like on the outside, dogs do whatever they want, right? They relieve themselves. They have relations outside. So too, the generation when Mashiach comes are going to do everything like a dog does. There's going to be no shame, no busha. And everyone's going to do everything for everyone to see. It used to be that behind your curtains, it was closed and you did what you had to do. Suddenly, now we're going to be like dogs, doing whatever we want, wherever we want, for everyone to see without any concern. Others say, no, it refers to the character of people. The dog comes along, you know, your dog, you open the front door, the dog is happy to see you, right? It's happy and barking, wagging its tail, unlike a cat that kind of like sulks off. But the dog's always happy, and yet we don't know what's happening inside the dog. Inside the dog, dog may actually hate you, right? But on the outside, it shows he loves you. So too, people will be like the face of a dog. On the outside, oh, we love it, we're so friendly. On the inside, though, not at all. I believe this as a reference to a very inauthentic generation. A generation where people will not have true loyalty or true emet towards each other. Rav Chana Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, wrote a small book that I bought when I was a yeshiva as a kid. It was a little thin book called Ikusei de Mashiach, actually, The Footsteps of Mashiach. And before he died, he wrote this small little companion about the days before Mashiach. And this actually aroused my interest in Mashiach actually, when I was a little boy, actually. And he actually describes this expression fantastically. And he says, you know what this is referring to? Face of the generation as the face of a dog. Who are the face of the generation? The leaders. Now, he actually referred to the political leaders, the government. But I want to see today, we're seeing that leadership isn't coming from the government. It's coming from the people, the masses. And who is that specifically? The famous people, they are the face of the generation. Literally, the people we see, right? Online, on television, wherever it is, right? In the newspapers, those are the people. That's the face of the generation. Now, they're going to have the face of a dog. Why? So he says, have you ever seen a person walking their dog? The dog always walks in front. Now, if you were from another planet and you were to see this, you would think that the dog is leading the human because the dog is ahead or is pulling the leash that the human is holding. However, what does the person do? They make a left turn and the dog wants to join them. So it turns his face, doubles back and follows them. He says the same thing. We're going to live in a society. This is how it fits into the rest of the Mishnah of absolute lack of leadership. No moral leadership, no ethical leadership, whatever the masses want. In this analogy, the people, the person leading the dog, turns around and the leaders, the Pnei Hador, the leaders of the generation, political or social, are going to look and say, whatever you want, I'm going to follow you. I don't have any real principles or morals myself. Whatever the masses want, we will give them as long as I remain famous or in power. That's who understands it. I heard from a lecture from Tzipora Heller said, we're going to live in a generation where people are going to love their dogs more than they love other humans. Right? Because people are so inauthentic. People aren't going to get what they want from society or each other or their friends or their family. And so we live in a generation where people are going to love their dogs more than actual humans. And we see it today. Right? You can insult a person. You can insult their parents, their grandparents. But don't insult my dog. Right? That's something like, that's a taboo. I'm very careful about that nowadays. Yeah. Faith of the generation is the faith of the dog. Says the Mishnah. And this is the punchline. The Alma Yeshlan Lilashayen. Who can we rely upon? Alavinu Shebashamayim. All of this, my friends, is going to lead to us being like, we're stuck. We can't rely on anyone. This breakdown of the old order has kicked in. And all I can rely upon is put all my faith, my emunah in Hashem. So all this Chevli Mashiach that we're seeing today, the Ikvas Age of Mashiach, is all this. So that we don't put our trust in people or money or things or objects or family. We put our faith purely and solely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in God. Okay, I can't leave it there. I've got to give you a little bit of a solution. Because if you remember, the Gemara of Eliezer told Rabbi, hey, don't freak out during Chevli Mashiach. Because you can always do Torah and Gemilot Chasadim. Why? Why those in particular? And what does it even mean? So we know that, well, maybe we don't know, one of the proofs that Mashiach is the rebuilding of the third and final temple on the Har Hashem, on the mountain of God. Okay. Actually, the Rambam says, not only is that one of the things that Mashiach is going to have to do, that is the absolute proof that Mashiach is Mashiach. As the Rambam says, that we have Mashiach Vadai. You've absolutely know you found Mashiach when the third and final temple is built on Har HaBayit Bimkomo, he says, in its place. I always say that's there to say that you can't build the Beit HaMikdash in Elat or Tel Aviv, which probably wouldn't cause such a stir, but it's got to be on Har HaBayit. So that's what the Mashiach is going to have to do. Now, if that's true, what's preventing the rebuilding of the third and final temple? Well, say the commentators, maybe let's go back and see what destroyed the first and second temple. If we can reverse that, we can build the third and final temple or allow it to be rebuilt. Well, we know that the second temple, we all learn this on Tisha B'Av, was Sinat Chinam, hatred between people. Ah, says the Sfasemes and many others, if hatred, Sina, destroyed the second temple, what's going to rebuild the third temple? Avad Yisrael, love towards other people. Obviously, the solution, the cure, can be seen from the disease itself. That's what destroyed the second temple, which is equivalent to the first temple's destruction. It must be that Avad Yisrael is going to allow the third temple to be rebuilt, which can only come when Mashiach arrives, and that's his job, and that is the proof that he is Mashiach, and that's going to begin Achrit Yamim, because, of course, the arrival of Mashiach is the beginning of Olam Haba in this world. Okay? So, mitzvah observance in general is going to do that. Torah study, say the rabbis, brings redemption. There's actually a beautiful Gemara that talks about a great individual called Rav Preda, who used to teach Torah. And when there was a little boy who wasn't able to retain his learning, after him teaching him 400 times, says the Gemara, he taught him another 400 times. So he was dealing with a student who wasn't so great. And a bat kol, a voice came out of heaven, says the Gemara, and says, Rav Preda, you and your entire generation go to Olam Haba. Teaching Torah, especially, as the Gemara is telling us, to those people who maybe aren't so fluent in Torah, which is a tremendous chesed in and of itself, is going to allow us to merit the arrival of Mashiach. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi, in Peah, talks about a king, King Munbaz. Now, I've seen my Jewish kings. I think this was actually a non-Jewish king who converted, or his mother converted. And we know that he was a very wealthy individual. And the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, tells us that he gave a vast amount of his money to poor people. And all of his relatives, who I guess maybe didn't convert, said, what are you doing? Right? All of your ancestors built up this money, handed it down to you, and you're giving it away to the poor people. And he said, they were foolish. they save, but only for this world. Me giving tzedakah, helping other people, doing chesed to other people, is me saving, says King Munbaz, to Olam Haba. My ancestors saved in this world, but I saved for Olam Haba. So the money we give in tzedakah, the chesed we do for other people, which we said is going to be the catalyst in order to bring Mashiach, really is coming from doing chesed and doing charitable acts and charitable giving to other people. We'll finish off, if you don't mind. I don't know if I've overrun my time. I have so much more to tell you. But let's talk about good character, midot tovot. And Alexander of Macedonia, said the Gemara, Alexander the Great, as we refer to him, had a discussion with the great scholars from the south of Israel. And he said to them, Mayavad inish v'yichya, what can a person do in order to live? And the live over there referred to ultimate life of Olam Haba, which we already said, the Mashiach is going to be the beginning of Olam Haba, which will result eventually in the future with Tchilat HaMitim, which is its own topic, not for now. So he said, what can I do? What can a person do in order to go to Olam Haba? And he said, kill yourself. Wow, really? Was that literally mean kill yourself? So they're like, no, Yeshpil atasma. Kill the bad character inside you. Kill the ga'va, the ego inside you. Have humility. And therefore, they said, kill yourself so that you can live. A person should kill themselves, work on your character, work in humility, work on your ego. Don't glorify yourself, and you will make it into Olam Haba. You will have that final redemption as well. I will mention, which I've already mentioned before, that chesed towards each other seems to be the main catalyst that we do. This is one of the reasons that at the Pesach Seder, we start by welcoming guests into our home, Halach Ma'anya. And the Chasam Sof and others say, why are we beginning the whole Pesach Seder by inviting people into our home? Because even the Egyptian redemption, we have to learn, happened because of chesed we had towards each other. We just saw Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader because he had chesed towards his people. So too, just as that is a catalyst for the fight for the Egyptian redemption, we welcome him to our home, and then we discuss the redemption from Mitzrayim, the Geula from Mitzrayim. So too, we have to do chesed and welcome people into our homes. I want to finish with one last idea, and this is mentioned a number of places. If the whole Messianic redemption is talking about beginning of Olam Haba, there is something in this world that is considered Me'en Olam Haba, a piece of the next world, a demonstration, a small little size. Actually, we're even given a fraction by the rabbis. Echad Mishishim, 1 in 60. If someone says to you, what's the Jewish idea of heaven, of Olam Haba, the future world? Why? We don't say, I don't know, babies flying around with wings on playing harps. I hope not, because I hate harp playing. And if I get to heaven and there's a baby playing a harp, I'm going to be very disappointed. The idea of heaven for us is Shabbat. Shabbat is 1/60th of Olam Haba. It's a taste, just there, just like non-kosher food disappears. It's just on the fraction of being from existing to non-existing. So too, Shabbat is 1/60th of Olam Haba, says the Gemara. What does that mean? Does that mean like Olam Haba is one big chulant and gefilte fish? Well, in some senses, yes. But it means the ultimate relaxation and the ability to be at peace with ourselves and those around us. And that's what the commentators say. One of the best ways to bring Mashiach, and you've all heard this, if not in song form, then in learning understanding, that Shabbat is one of the greatest ways to bring Mashiach, for us to merit the arrival of the Mashiach. And maybe this is the solution that we're missing. Maybe all of these challenges we're seeing is because of technology that's speeding up, that's distancing us from our families. And Shabbat is the solution. When we bring Shabbat and really bring Shabbat into our lives and bring people to Shabbat tables, maybe the final little window of peace that we have that not only exists in this world, but actually allows us, is the portal into Olam Haba, i.e. the arrival of Mashiach, is to keep Shabbat. as the Gemara says, just one Shabbat, and we'll all be free. That will bring the redemption. That will bring the Geula. And so Shabbat is the secret source that actually merits the Rav Mashiach and helps us to lessen the challenges and difficulties that will come with Mashiach as well. Just one Shabbat, Me'en Olam Haba, will allow us to be able to bring shalom between ourselves and welcome people to Shabbat tables, maybe not just welcoming religious people, but people who don't know what Shabbat is. My Shabbat table, my family are very used to, right? Many, many years of us having people who've never kept Shabbat. They come for Shabbat, some begin keeping Shabbat, some don't, but there's a realization, right, that you can have true shalom potentially in our homes when it comes to Shabbat. And that's one day that people are disconnected from the outside world, able to focus inwards. That could be one of the potential solutions that we merit. And maybe learning laws of Shabbat, learning Hilchos Shabbat, which I review with many of my students once a year, and an appreciation, if you want to appreciate a mitzvah of the rabbis, learn the halachot, the laws of that thing. So maybe we can take upon ourselves the laws of Shabbat, which will lead to better shalom by God willing, and we'll be saved from all the Chevel Mashiach and be able to finally begin the ultimate Shabbat of Olam Haba together with Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael. Thank you all so much for spending your Sunday mornings with me. May we all merit a speedy redemption, as the prophet Isaiah says, Be'ito in its time, but also Achishana, quickly, earlier than we anticipated, and very smoothly. Thank you all. Have a great and wonderful day.